Yes, hello, Dan Owen here. Very nice, very evil, very famous. And I am here to say hello and introduce you to the Wrestling podcast of some sort. It is very nice, very evil, I am told. So listen to it, decide for yourself, or be cursed.
Hello, and welcome to On the Indies, where we discuss and celebrate independent wrestling. I am MX Sharp, and I am joined by...
Hello, I'm Adam, and MX, I have some bad news for you.
Oh no, what's the bad news?
Books and Looks is no more.
No! Why? What happened?
At the Smash Wrestling show in November, they split apart. I was like, this is not cool, man. And then the valet turned on the... I was like, oh my gosh, I was torn up by that. I really was.
A sudden yet inevitable betrayal. For the listeners, can you go into a little bit about Books and Looks and their tragic demise?
I know. I just wanted to spring that on you.
Make me sad right off the bat. Thank you. Thanks for that.
No. So Books and Looks, really fun team in Smash Wrestling. Kind of like a nerdy team with this, like, really, I guess, like, cheerleader valet. I don't know kind of what to describe. Miley. Miley's her name. And then the two members of the team are Rodney Matthews and Michael Grayson. And then they were actually the Smash Tag Team Champions this year. And had some really fun matches, especially against TDT, which I don't know if you are familiar with them, but they're just this giant Canadian lumberjack team from, like, Quebec. They were on some GCW shows earlier this year when they did Montreal and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So TDT won the tag titles from Books and Looks. And then the betrayal heard around the world. Books and Looks split apart. I'm just like, oh no, what happened? So now these two are going to be... So now Matthews and Grayson are going to fight each other at the upcoming Smash Wrestling show in January. And it's going to be wild and it's going to be crazy. And there's going to be lots of insanity. So I'm totally looking forward to that. Which reminds me, if you're not watching Smash Wrestling, you probably should, because there's a lot of good stuff going on there. Everything is free on their YouTube channel.
I love a good free on a YouTube channel promotion. That's always great. I love more accessibility. Do we have any idea what of the motivations behind this sudden yet inevitable betrayal, or is it?
Do not. I think there. I'm sure there'll be a recap video, or one of them will put a video out about it. As of this recording, I haven't seen anything. Although it's possible I may have missed it with everything that gets posted on wrestling Twitter every day, so I may have overlooked it. But. anyway, I'm a little torn up about that, but we'll get through it and we'll watch them just explode when they face each other at any given Sunday in January.
I hate to see a tag team break up. I'm going to be real with you. Like, all tag teams break up, and I really like tag teams, and it's hard to have fun tag teams who have other tag teams to fight if they keep fighting each other.
Exactly.
It's so annoying.
Exactly. I was a huge fan of Books and Looks too. It was just like their entrance music. They were just kind of so fun when they came out, because one of them wore like a sweater vest and a tie and everything. It was like, this is just so goofy and geeky, but it's so much fun. They would come out dancing too, and their entrance music, you would hear like a phone ringing, and then an answering machine would pick up and it'd say, "This is Books and Looks. We can't get to the phone right now because we're about to go kick some ass." And then the music would kick in, and then they would just come out dancing and go crazy. I was like, oh, this is so much fun.
That's so charming. And it's all ruined. It's all gone. Like, we don't have to have the tag teams break up for drama. I'm sure we as a society can come up with other things that are dramatic. I'm sure that we can.
I know. I'm sure we can too. So if you want to check that out, it's on the Smash Wrestling YouTube channel. If you want to see the demise of Books and Looks, I had it pulled up, and now where'd it go? That's the horn telling me to move it.
Sorry.
So if you want to see the demise of Books and Looks, it's up on the Smash Wrestling YouTube channel. It's the High Voltage show from, they posted it 3 weeks ago as we're recording this. Go on there, check it out. Sunny Kiss is on the show, Psycho Mike, bunch of other people are on there too. So
I'm so glad Sunny Kiss is on the indies now. I really, 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 really love Sunny in AEW. And of course, we never, ever saw Sunny in AEW. So I'm glad that, you know, she can be out here and just actually do things mm-hmm. ever. So that's really nice.
I could be thinking of something else, but didn't Sunny Kiss the one that had the non-sanctioned match or lights out match against Joey Janela on Dark?
Yeah. See, speaking of tag teams that break up even though they're so fun together, Sunny Kiss and Joey Janela had a tag team that was actually like really cute. They did these like fun little vignettes during the pandemic era, and I was like, oh, like I'm really into this. Like, this is really fun. And then the betrayal of Joey Janela, and then they did have the whole feud and what have you. But like, I would just prefer to have the tag team personally.
Yeah, that's the only thing. That's the only match I ever remember from AEW Dark. That and the Eddie Kingston versus JD Drake match. Those are the only two things I remember from AEW Dark. But anyway, if you want to see the demise of Books and Looks, go watch Smash Wrestling High Voltage on YouTube. I guarantee you'll have a good time other than seeing the demise of Books and Looks.
Speaking of things that we have spoken about before, last time on the Indies.
Oh no.
We were discussing Insane Clown Bussy.
Yes, we were.
And now Insane Clown Bussy has happened, and it was exactly what you might think it would be.
You know, I'm going to fully admit I am behind on GCW.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to have to enlighten me as to what happened here, because this was, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago at the Thanksgiving show?
Yes, it was. But I was keeping my eye on this one. So it was Alley Catch, Effie, and Violent J versus the Mortons and the other guy.
Sorry,
that was disrespectful.
Yes. George South, I think.
George South. Yeah. So, you know, this was always just going to be a goofy, silly match filled with goofy, silly people. Effie and Allie came out in, you know, the Insane Clown Posse face makeup. Violent J did one of his songs. Like, everything was they came out and they were all fun. Like, they were just like having a really good time with it.
Saw the clip of that.
And it was just goofiness. You know, one of the Mortons, the little one.
Carrie?
Yeah, that's the one. Carrie Morton. He's such a delightful little snotty little brat. So he's like on his like entitled Nepo baby era right now. So, you know, just like, you know, riling up the crowd, right. Doing heel stuff. You know, as far as the wrestling goes, it was some of the wrestling of all time, I have to say. Out of all of the wrestling that's ever happened on God's green earth, that was some of it. But it was really fun. There was a cheeky little it looks like a cheeky little Young Buck call out from Insane Clown Bussy. And I was like, oh, that's a cheeky little call out right there. They were sort of doing the pose. Like, they did like a team together move, and then they did the little pose. And I was like, as a Young Buck obsessive, I always like to see them show up in spirit, if nothing else. So that was cute too. You know, if you are like me, fascinated by the spectacle, which is suggested by the phrase "Insane Clown Bussy," you know, it's worth giving a little bit of a look. It was just what you might think it would be.
I just think like Violent J in GCW is just like that. They're tailor made for each other.
Like nothing makes more sense than that, to be honest. Like, a perfect fit, you know. And like, everybody seemed to be having a good time, and it was like cute, fun little thing. So, you know, we had a good time with that.
I'm gonna put that on my list to watch.
Yeah, you know, give it a look. I mean, you will watch things like the Fish Market Street Fight, so
this
you know
is true. Yes,
this is several true. Orders of magnitude more enjoyable. Not a high bar.
Yeah, I will watch the street I can't even talk, it matches so horrible. The Fish Market Street Fight. I almost said the Street Market Fish Fight, which probably would be even more entertaining. speaking of GCW, I just happened to notice that they're, or I just remembered actually, that they're running the Nick Gage Invitational on New Year's weekend. So I'm going to mark that down to check that out. And they also have their holiday special coming up on December the 21st, Blake Christian versus Santa.
Oh my God. I'm so excited for this. I went from that sounds fun to oh my God, I have to see this. It's like half a second.
Jordan Oliver versus John Wayne Murdoch, Joey Janela against Marcus Mathers, Mike Bailey versus Broski Jimmy Lloyd. So it's already, it just sounds ridiculous.
Sounds great to me. Sounds it awesome. Does.
And so does the NGI, the Nick Gage Invitational. Looks like there's looks like they've announced Miedo Extremo for it, Masha Slamovich, Jimmy Lloyd, Violento Jack, Emerson Jane, Daiju Wakamatsu, Risa Sarah, and a name that's really intriguing to me in this is Jacob Fatu.
Oh.
So
I don't know anything about Jacob Fatu, so
he's coming over from MLW, where he was, I believe he was the one that had the long title reign. I want to say almost 2 years he was the MLW world champion. And he's from that Fatu wrestling clan that includes like Roman Reigns and the Usos and all of them. So that's going to be really interesting to see. I don't think I've ever seen him in a deathmatch setting. So I'm really curious about that. That's going to be super fun to watch over New Year's weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got the what have you, the Battle Royal thing, the Do or Die Rumble.
Yeah.
Going on that weekend too.
Which is fun. It's a fun thing, that Do or Die Rumble.
Yes. And that's how this whole mess with Masha and Blake Christian started.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I'm looking forward to see what they do, honestly, because I remember watching a Do or Die Rumble last year. And
yeah.
Like, and I watched, I think it was the New Year's Day show. And then, because I watched the New Year's Eve show, and then it was midnight, and then they stopped the show. They all got in the ring. They all counted down to midnight. And then they came back with Billy Starks and Brogan Finley against Janai Kai and Yo-Yo. After midnight, it's like, okay, this is random but cool.
I think the timing got a little goofy on that one, and they were like, oh no, we have to do the countdown. Okay.
Yeah, like I was like this is just a random weird match to have in the main event spot, but it's like, okay, we'll go with it, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's that. So if you're not doing anything over New Year's weekend, go watch GCW on Fight Plus or Triller or whatever it's called today.
We'll just call it Fight Plus. I don't care about all of these tech companies changing the names of things. I don't have to pay attention to them.
So as long as I can still watch wrestling on it, I'm good.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is not a guarantee.
No, never is. Speaking, though, of good wrestling I watched, it kind of fits into the indies pantheon that we do here.
We're letting it in on a technicality.
I think
I think is what we're going for here. Yes. Or we're ignoring technicality to let it in, whatever,
right? So Final Battle just happened over this past weekend, and that was probably the best Ring of Honor show that they've done since Tony Khan took it over, by far and away. The shows that they've done since he took over have all been pretty good, but I think this just kind of raised the bar. It really, really did. Because last year they were doing, you know, last year was the third match in the Briscoes FTR trilogy. So they didn't, that was their hook for last year.
Right.
This year they didn't really have too much of a hook up until like the few weeks before the show when they announced Athena versus Billy Starks. I was like, okay. I can get down with that. And then they said it was gonna be the main event. Oh, okay. So there's your hook for this year. And they also had the Survival of the Fittest 6-way elimination for the vacant world TV title. And one interesting name popped up in that. They did the final qualifying match on the pre-show, and it was Brian Keith, the bounty hunter. He beat Jack Cartwheel on the pre-show. And that was a hell of a match. That was probably the best match of the pre-show. Although the pre-show also had Daniel Garcia against Blake Christian.
Oh my God. So, oh my God. Yeah. I need to see that actually.
Yeah. They had Daniel Garcia against Blake Christian on the pre-show. And that, I mean, I think Brian Keith and Jack Cartwheel was just a little bit better than that. But
really?
I was just like, yeah, I was like, oh man. But both matches were super, super good. So Brian Keith won his way into the Survival of the Fittest match. So that was against Kyle Fletcher, Dalton Castle, Commander, Lee Johnson, and Lee Moriarty. And that was a wild match.
Uh-huh.
Kyle Fletcher and Commander, man, that last finishing stretch. Holy cow. This is some of the best stuff I've seen this year.
Commander has really, like has gotten, like, really good in the past little bit. Like, he was always, like, pretty impressive, but I felt that he could get a little sloppy sometimes. But he's really cooking right now. He's been doing some really great stuff. So that's an exciting one to watch too.
Yeah. See, the first time I saw Commander was in GCW. Mm-hmm. I would say I can't remember if it was late last year or earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And he did that rope walk thing. I was just blown away at that rope walk thing he does, where he used the top rope as a balance beam, walks across it, and then springboards off.
Yeah.
To the floor. I was blown away by that. And then he popped up on AEW. I'm just like, okay, this would be pretty cool. But the crowd didn't seem to receive him all that well in AEW. I don't know if they knew who he was or weren't familiar with him or anything like that. But he wasn't well received in AEW, at least I think from the start. But he's grown on people.
He has, yeah. I mean, he had some stiff competition, right? So he walked into AEW, but AEW also has, Rey Fénix, it also has sometimes Vikingo, right? Like, AEW is not unfamiliar with the luchador style, or even the, a lot of very impressive high flying, right? Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of those in AEW. I will say I'm not doing this to be a hater or to be curmudgeonly, but like the rope walk thing was like actually the thing that made me not super into him at first.
Really?
Well, perhaps this is just my own personal cynicism because I watch so much high flying. But I saw the rope walk spot and I was like, okay, so you are now grinding the pace of the match to a halt so that I can watch your balance beam routine.
That's actually a really valid point. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I just like, I like, obviously it's very impressive. But like when Rey Fénix does like the rope run, when he runs across the top of the rope and then like smashes into somebody, to me, like, that is more, like, not only is it impressive, but it also fits with the flow of the match and the flow of the action of what's going on. It's good to do things that are impressive. Like, I like seeing, obviously, I like very acrobatic wrestling and I like to see very acrobatic things. But I do think that it is important to, like, kind of consider what your flow and pacing is looking like. Because if you're doing something that's really exciting, and then you're like, look at me, do this rope walk. And I'm like, all right, well, this took like a full, like 10 whole seconds for you to do this, right? Which is just a million years, in the moment. So that was kind of, but I feel like his pacing has really improved a lot lately.
I think it has too.
And I think that's why I'm kind of like a little bit more into him now, but he's very impressive. He's gotten very impressive. And I think his stint in AEW, and it doesn't always work out like this, but I think his stint in AEW has kind of given him more legitimacy, like a higher profile. And that's not always the case with indie wrestlers, I don't think.
No, I don't think it is either. And he's slotted in pretty well on that third or fourth man spot on like the Penta, Fénix, Alex Abrahantes stable.
Yeah.
So he's pretty much like the backup. I hate to say it that way, but that's pretty much what he is, because Fénix is out right now. Fénix is out hurt, right? Yeah, so he's the fill-in right now. And I hate to say it that way, but he is. But anyway, that final stretch between him and Kyle Fletcher on that Survival of the Fittest, that was some amazing stuff. I was literally on the edge of my seat, and that never happens to me when I'm watching wrestling.
I'm just like picturing what that could look like, and I'm actually very intrigued, because of course I love Kyle Fletcher, right? So
I won't tell you who wins in case you want to go back and watch it though.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
So final battle opened with Vikingo versus Black Tarus, and you want to talk about an insane lucha match. That was just pretty much
awesome. I bet that was awesome.
Everything you could ever imagine in a lucha match. High flying, Vikingo got speared, gored, whatever you want to call it, several times by Tarus. Sold it like he was dead. I was so happy to see Black Tarus randomly pop up on a Ring of Honor show. I'm like, yes, please more Tarus. Please, please more of him. Because I love me some Black Tarus. I became a fan of his when I picked back up in Impact, or watching Impact during the pandemic, and I saw him versus Josh Alexander on one of the Impact Plus specials, and it was just so good. And I was like, okay, I already like Josh Alexander. Now this Tarus guy is really good. It's like, okay, I got another guy I like here on Impact. And then he was also part of that Decay stable with Rosemary and what have you. So unfortunately, when that stable kind of dissipated in Impact, and Rosemary became Courtney Rush, and Havoc became Jessica with a C and a K because she's sick. I promise I'll never do that in public or on here ever again.
Don't be a coward. You can do it whenever you want.
And then Crazy Steve went off into the deep end. There really, unfortunately, wasn't a spot for Tarus. So happy to see him pop up in Ring of Honor. And it went on to the six man tag title. The forever champions, Mogul Embassy, Khan, Brian Cage, and Toa Leona versus TMDK. And that was a lot better than I thought it would be. I was like, I figured this would just be a meh match, but it got pretty good, pretty fast paced. And, you know, it was a nice little match. Nothing too exciting or special about it, but I thought it was a pretty good little match. And then after that was one of the most epic matches on the show. Ethan Page versus Tony Nese in an I Quit match. And this was just complete insanity. There were weights, there were handcuffs, there was baby powder. Mark Sterling was handcuffed to the ring post. It was just all kinds of insanity. There was a giant spot where Ethan Page jumped off the apron and gave Tony Nese that neckbreaker movie does. They went off that through the apron, through two tables. It was just insane. So definitely recommend checking that one out. So we talked about Survival of the Fittest. There was a Nyla Rose match on the show. Wheeler Yuta versus Tom Lawler in a Pure Rules match for the Pure title. I'm not too keen on the Pure title, especially seems just like Wheeler Yuta's completely dominating that scene. But it was kind of neat to see Tom Lawler in the Pure Rules environment. I'd like to see more of that. So especially I'd like to see them get the title off Wheeler Yuta and give it to somebody like Tom Lawler and let him go around defending it like in New Japan or whatever. Pure Rules titles or with those Pure Rules or whatnot. I can't think of anybody though. Right. I think the biggest thing right now that Wheeler Yuta is doing is he's in a feud with Hook, and that's the match I thought they were going to go with on this show and have Hook, you know, maybe eventually have Hook beating for the Ring of Honor Pure title. I don't know if that's something they'll do.
That would make a lot of sense for Hook.
That's something I thought that's where I thought they were going with this, to have Wheeler Yuta defend it against Hook on the show. But hey, we got Tom Lawler instead, so I'm not going to complain. And then there was the big Hoss fight between Shane Taylor and Keith Lee. I love me some Shane Taylor. He just beats the bejesus out of people. Him and Keith Lee was just an absolute Hoss fight. Everything you would imagine between these two is beat the living crap out of each other for like 15, 20 minutes. And then there was a Tony Schiavone random cameo backstage interviewing Brian Keith.
Tony Schiavone jump scare.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell is Tony Schiavone doing in Ring of Honor? Then we had Moxley, Brian Danielson, and Claudio against FTR and Mark Briscoe, which what turned into a fight without honor. Is one of the bloodiest damn matches I've ever seen in my life. So they were doing it as like a fight to... They called it a fight to honor Jay Briscoe because Final Battle last year was Jay Briscoe's final match.
Right, yeah.
So they were, you know, doing the match. It was getting physical. There was like this whole double count out thing. And then they came back and then they restarted it as a fight without honor. And they went another like probably 10, 15 minutes and just destroyed each other. We're talking like barbed wire, thumbtacks, tables, forks. I mean, you name it. It was insane. So that was really fun. Eddie Kingston had a match on there, a proving ground match against Anthony Henry. You can imagine how that went. No offense against Anthony Henry, but it's Eddie Kingston against Anthony Henry in a proving ground match. And then we come to the main event. Athena versus Billy Starks of the Ring of Honor Women's World title.
How was this? Because I was really hyped for this.
So my thing about this match was I was expecting something else.
Oh.
I was expecting, like, you know, this giant blood feud, which it kind of was. I was expecting it to be really, really physical, but instead it more kind of leaned, I thought, towards telling a story instead of just out and out brutal physicality, which that there's nothing wrong with that.
I often prefer that, to be honest. Yeah. That makes it sound more intriguing to me.
So the story here was like, you know, Billy Sarks has been kind of under Athena's control as a minion in training, so to speak. It was her and Lexi Nair kind of team partner with Athena as like the minions in training, the MIT is what they called them. And then they did this whole graduation, MIT graduation ceremony a couple weeks ago on Honor Club, where, you know, she handed out, Athena handed out, like, the, she named valedictorian of MIT, and it was Lexi Nair, and not Billy Starks. And Billy Starks got pissed, and then turned on Athena, and threw her into the guardrail, threw all the graduation stuff down, and then that's when they announced the match. So, I mean, I thought it was a really, really good match.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Lexi Nair involved as the ring announcer. And kind of got her involved in the finish of the match too, which I thought was like, it was kind of like this whole, there was like a ref bump, and then there was a whole thing is you know, Lexi comes in the ring and it's like, will she, won't she, you know, she was holding the women's title belt, and both Athena and Billy Sarks were down there doing the old, who's she gonna hit bit.
Right. Who does she choose?
Yeah. And then, so yeah, then that kind of led into the finish, but yeah, that was, I mean, it was a really good match, and I think Billy Sarks, that's the minute Billy Sarks is like a, as a star, essentially. I mean, not that she wasn't a star already, but I think that's just kind of upped her game even more.
There are so many different ways that Billy Starks has shown herself to be a star, really, I think. She's just been getting better and better, and it's so cool that she got to have this main event spot and, like, killed it so much. Like, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, and the match went almost half an hour. Too,
wow.
Was, yeah, it took up the, and the show didn't go off the air till almost 12:30.
Oh my god.
So like, the main card started at 8 and then it went to almost 12:30. So, but I was awake for every second of it. I was, it's like, this is one of the best shows I've seen since Tony, like I said, since Tony Khan took it over. And I know that's a really quick rundown of Ring of Honor, but this is what I can remember after watching, 3 days after watching it, recording this, and my short-term memory is horrible.
I'm really glad that it turned out to be okay. I was talking to some people about Final Battle and they were not happy, I think, with like the prospects of like how it would turn out, but it seems like it was great. So
I think that, and I think Super Card of Honor this year was another really good show.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was the best Ring of Honor pay-per-view of this year, just above Super Card of Honor, because Super Card had the had Eddie and Claudio, had the Jay Briscoe Reach for the Sky ladder match. It had Vikingo was on the show against, it was, yeah, Vikingo against Commander on Super Card, Samoa Joe against Mark Briscoe, Tanahashi against Garcia. So that was all on Super Card. So this was also the second straight pay-per-view, Ring of Honor pay-per-view, where they main evented with the women's title.
Yeah. So which is crazy.
I know. I was really excited to see that too. It's like, okay, great. Now I didn't think the Athena Billy Starks match was as good as the Athena versus Willow match from Death Before Dishonor, but it was still a really good match. So definitely recommend going back, checking out Final Battle if you haven't. And Ring of Honor going into 2024. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I hope so. Ring of Honor is so tough, right? Because, like, I think it's so important to people emotionally, and I think it's really important to wrestling in a lot of different ways, and it's hard to see it be treated as AEW's hat. Mm-hmm. And I would like for it to be treated less as AEW's hat. And it seems like they can really stand on that. And I think it's, you know, it's really impressive, like, what Athena's been doing. It sounds like Athena's just been knocking it out of the park with hit after hit over there.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing. And, you know, there's still a lot of like really good stuff going on there. I remember watching or reading this interview with Athena when kind of Ring of Honor was just starting to start up again. And she was talking about how it's like, yeah, we're really, really determined to make this work. Like we want to prove to people, like, we want to make this work. And I think her dedication to Ring of Honor really shows. And it's like really impressive and really admirable. And like, I want it to work too. I want it to work for Ring of Honor. I want it to work for me, and I want it to work for her. You know?
Yeah, if you could see my reaction right now, I'm nodding my head yes. Because I agree. I want all of Ring of Honor needs to be around to give people a place to go and wrestle in. So, I mean, I was honestly down on it when it became AEW Light, and AEW Dark of Honor. But then it started kind of getting a little bit better, and then people on the internet started talking about, at least some of the people I follow started talking about it a little bit more. It's like, okay, maybe I need to kind of, because I kind of gave up on it honestly after Supercard. It's like, okay, I'll watch it till Supercard, and then we'll see where it goes. And it kind of fell off after Supercard, but then it kind of started to build back up once I heard about all this stuff Athena was doing
Yeah,
with Billy
Athena, I feel
Starks.
like has been really driving a lot of attention, like more than most people has been driving a lot of attention towards Ring of Honor, at
And if you
least of like what I see.
right, and if you look at some like the best matches from Ring of Honor in 2023, three of those are probably going to be Athena matches. So Athena versus Willow from Death Before Dishonor, Athena versus Billy from Final Battle, and Athena versus Kiera Hogan from one of the Honor Club episodes over the summer. And I can't remember which one off the top of my head, but where they did that Chicago Street fight. So those are the, when I think about the three best Ring of Honor matches this year, Athena's going to be in all of them. So she is by far the MVP of Ring of Honor this year.
And you know, I really wanted to, like, some friends of mine and I, like, we really wanted to follow, you know, Ring of Honor when it first started up, and we really wanted to support it because, like, it's so important in so many different ways. But we got really discouraged when, like, the pay-per-views didn't come with a subscription and they were so expensive.
Yeah, so
And
did
we were
I.
like, come on, guys. But now the pay-per-views come with the Honor Club, right? If
Yeah,
I
they
recall
do. This
correctly.
was included with Honor Club, and I think the reason for that is because of the AEW exclusivity deal they have with Warner Brothers Discovery. So because before they were putting the Ring of Honor pay-per-views on Bleacher Report, but now with, I guess, with the new AEW TV deal, they have exclusivity with AEW, so they can't put Ring of Honor on Bleacher Report, so they just decide to stream on Honor Club. At least that's the way I would think of it, or that's the way I kind of figured it being, or the reason I figured it being for on Honor Club. And something interesting too on the post-Final Battle press conference, someone asked Tony Khan about, you know, running more events, more Ring of Honor exclusive events on Honor Club. He's like, for next year, he's like, that's not something I'm opposed to. So I was like, if they start running more Honor Club exclusive events, that's a reason for me to keep my subscription.
That would be cool. That would be cool. I mean, I'm keeping my subscription regardless because of the Young Buck matches. So I can start watching at any
Yeah.
time.
And I'm going to keep my subscription too, probably because the cost of Impact Plus is going up and I can't afford Impact Plus. I'm like, no. Nope.
That's crazy.
$219 a year for Impact Plus if you want the tier that includes the four tentpole pay-per-views.
No, thank
Nope.
you.
Yeah. So, but the thing is now with that, you can order. You have to order them through, you can't order them through Fight Anywhere, you have to order them through Impact Plus or TNA Plus or whatever it's going to be. Anyway, so that was Final Battle. Looking forward to seeing what Ring of Honor is going to be doing in 2024, and hopefully Super Card of Honor is included with Honor Club subscription. Hopefully they do Super Card of Honor this year, because WrestleMania is in Philadelphia. I'm not sure, you know, if they do Super Card, I'm not sure where they would do it in Philadelphia. I'd like to see them do it at the ECW Arena. I think that'd be really cool, but I don't think they would. Time will tell, I suppose, on that.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out. That's what's going on with ROH right now. We know it's
Yes.
not technically indie, but it got grandfathered
It did. Because,
in.
you know, it did. Because it was an indie at one time, and it was the talk of the town. And if you go back, you can go back on Honor Club. You can see all these great matches with Danielson and Homicide and Joe, and when they were truly were like a small independent promotion. So,
And like even now, we're still seeing a lot of independent talent there, and they're getting a lot of them are getting a chance to shine over there.
yeah,
So I
like
think
Brian Keith on Final Battle is a good example.
exactly. But yeah, and you know, after Final Battle, we are in the final weeks of the year. Like that came up with that all by myself.
That was a good transition. I give you props for
Thank
that one.
you.
A plus on that. if this was your like end of semester final, you would get an A+ on that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I know it's tradition for podcasts to do like, you know, award shows, like best of the year, this, that, and the third. I'm very bad at doing these because if I like something, I don't like to rank it. I'm like, but I like this because of this reason and this because of that reason. So I just end up not choosing anything.
No, I usually just kind of, I was going to keep, like, at the beginning of the year, I was going to keep a list of my, like, favorite matches. Not necessarily the best matches, but, like, my favorite matches, because that's how I kind of rank stuff and categorize stuff. It's like, okay, if, you know, if I enjoyed it, I'm going to put it on the list. And then I stopped doing that about spring. So I was like, okay, I give up.
Yeah.
But
try again for next year?
Actually, yeah, I am going to try again for next year.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, if I can make it past April, that will be an accomplishment, past WrestleMania even. But yeah, I think it's been a really fun year in independent wrestling. So GCW had some really fun shows. The Blake Christian Masha Slamovich stuff has been kind of carrying them through the year. Revolver's had a great year. They had the women's tournament in the fall. They had that wild ass 8-man tag back in the summertime. It was like Moxley and SGC against Rascals and Ricky Shane Page that I was there live for. That was the only live show besides SmackDown, but right before SummerSlam, that was the only live show I've been to this year. And then, you know, Jake Crist has been doing great stuff as the Revolver champion. Chris Hero came back to wrestling this year. Ring of Honor is doing pretty strong now at the end of the year, so I think going into 2024, things are in good shape.
Yeah, I going into 2024, I would like to, I've been to a bunch of live indie shows this year, but I want to go to more next year. Like I want to try, because like there's just like nothing like you know, the live indie show experience. I've been indoctrinating my friends into liking wrestling, so I would like to go to more things and do more things.
I want to go to more shows. Like, I want to go to, you know, more Revolver shows when they run Dayton on weekends. I can't, they do them on Thursday nights for some reason during the fall and winter, and it's like, I can't do a Thursday night show. But I also want to go to, like, more, like, local independents.
Yeah.
Like, the guys that don't stream on Fight Plus or anything like that. There's a company around here in the Cincinnati area called Tri-State Wrestling. They're doing lots of good stuff. They bring in Jake Crist, they bring in Matt Cardona, they bring in Myron Reed, people like that. They stream their shows on Premiere, which is one of the 10,000 wrestling streaming networks out there. But I've heard nothing but good things about them, and they're run by some former HWA people. I'm looking forward to potentially going and checking out one of their shows sometime this year, because when they come to Ohio, they run Hamilton, which is like 10 minutes from me. So if I get a chance to go over there on a Saturday, Friday or Saturday, whenever they run a show, and check them out, I will. There was also a company starting up. I don't know if they're running any more shows, but there was this a few weeks ago in Hamilton, there was a company that ran a show with Madman Pondo versus Shadow WX in a death match. I'm like, why didn't I go to this? Then I realized, I was like, oh, it's a Sunday night.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to wrestling. I have to get up at like 6 o'clock on a Monday morning. I'm not going to go to wrestling on a Sunday night unless I really, 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 really want to. But hopefully whatever company that was comes back, starts running more shows locally in 2024.
Yeah. I think something in 2024 that I want to pay more attention to is promotions that put all their stuff on YouTube.
Smash.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like we were talking about, or Enjoy. I wanna pay more attention to that, and I wanna put more of a spotlight on that, because I think that there's still a lot of really good stuff that will be there, even though it doesn't get, you know, the attention of the big wrestling companies or even the bigger indies.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that stuff is accessible. It's so hard to access wrestling and get into wrestling sometimes, so I want to look into the stuff that's like accessible and see what's out there.
I think West Coast Pro is putting some of their stuff on YouTube too. That's the company that Chris Hero came back to wrestle for. So they put the Chris Hero show, I think it's called Whiplash, up on YouTube. They put the show afterwards up on YouTube as well. It was called Monster. And I don't think they put the whole show up, but they put up the main event of Chris Hero and Kenta against Titus Alexander and Kevin Blackwood.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, and it's apparently 45 minutes long. So I'm gonna save that one for a day. I don't have much going. Actually, no, they did put the whole show up. It's like they put it up in like spurts. So
Yeah,
like they
awesome.
uploaded the rent matches individually, so you can just kind of go watch them at your leisure, which is nice. I like it when they do that. So you don't have to commit to a whole show. You can just kind of watch matches at your leisure, which
Yeah,
is nice.
that's nice.
So yeah, West Coast Pro,
Yeah,
like you mentioned. What was the other one? What was you said? Enjoy.
enjoy
Thank you.
wrestling.
Smash, and then yeah, there's a ton of other like smaller companies that put stuff up on YouTube. So go find it. It's out there, and I
Or
guarantee you, it's probably really good too.
yeah, and like I want to find it. I want to find it, and I want to bring it to you all. So I guess that's like my goal for wrestling in 2024, and like and you know, document more of the matches that I watch. Tried to do a little bit of that this year, did not work out, so we will try again next year.
Yeah, my goal is to at least, check out more stuff on YouTube, like you said. And I also want to get more immersed into Smash Wrestling, which I've watched some of their stuff here and there, and it's really good. Like the Books and Looks thing we talked about earlier. I watched their show from August, Super Showdown, with that wild steel cage main event. Yeah, there's all kinds of good stuff out there. So that's something I want to do in 2024, in addition to like following GCW and Revolver and all them that are on Fight and IWTV and places like that. I want to try to, follow Smash a little bit closer and follow some of these other smaller companies a little bit closer too, and talk about what they're doing in addition to everything else.
Yeah, I think indie wrestling looks really great for 2024. I've really enjoyed indie wrestling in 2023, and I think that's a great note to end the year on.
Yeah, they had a better year in 2023, and then they didn't. I enjoyed it more in 2023 than I did in 2022, for that's for sure. Though I don't know why. It's probably got more involved with it and doing this podcast, but I definitely enjoyed watching independent wrestling more.
Yeah, me too. So until next year,
Yes.
thank you for listening to On the Indies. Please check out the other podcasts on the Wrestle In Network: All Elite Listening, Flight of Five, Ace Techers, Ocean Cyclone Show, Purovision, Tokyo Joshi Freedom Fighters, and ChocoCast. Plus all of our Patreon exclusive shows like Into the Wrestling Verse, Noob Japan, and even more. Check us out on Patreon or just search Wrestle In wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find me on Twitter, sort of, at Fake Sport Fuel.
And you can find me on Twitter at RyderAdam84. You can also follow my History of HWA project at History of HWA. Subscribe to the History of HWA newsletter, because I have it on good authority, me, that something neat is coming to that in 2024. So,
Ooh.
it's not anything like groundbreaking,
But neat.
but neat
I like things that are neat.
and really, really fun, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll leave
Yeah,
that
so
for you.
follow History of HWA and see the thing that's gonna be real neat.
Yes, I've mentioned it on the History of HWA Twitter already, two things I'm looking to do going into the project in 2024. So those are the two things. So that's one of the two things that's gonna one of those two things I've already started working on.
Yeah.
So one of them, and I'll tell you what they were. I mean, was gonna put together the results of the entire developmental run of TV, because that's something I don't have right now, when they were part of the WWF and WWE ecosystem. And they had local TV here in Cincinnati for about a year, where you had get to see people like Crush and Mike Sanders and Val Venus and Steve Blackman and D'Lo Brown and all the WCW cruiserweights coming in on local TV. So I put those results together. That's one I'm working on. And the other thing is going to be, well, we talked about YouTube, so I'll just leave it at that. That's
And
I'll
all of
drop the hint
that.
for the second one. Follow the project and you'll know more about it.
All that's coming in 2024. So we hope you have a great holiday season, and we'll see you next year. Bye.
Bye.